Good evening. Thanks for all coming out tonight to our Lenten service, and we're excited to have our high schoolers helping with the service again tonight as we did a month ago. It's always a special treat. So the only announcement I'm going to really refer to here is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Our spring banquet is this Sunday evening at 6 o'clock at the gym, and it's open to anybody. You don't have to be in school or anything like that. But so 6 o'clock, we have the supper that starts pretty much right after that. And as you see, the guest speaker will be T.J. Carlson. He's the chaplain up at SDSU for the Jackrabbits. So we certainly ought to have all the Jackrabbit people there, right? And some coyotes too. Okay. All right. So welcome to the service this evening. We're going to go ahead, and Maverick is going to open with prayer for us.
Please bow your heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that says, "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." This evening we come to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. We come to present our bodies before you as living sacrifices. We come to give you our highest praise and to say that we love you with all our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our great high priest, our redeemer, and our deliverer. Help us to stand strong in you and in your power of your might. As we gather in this sanctuary and in your presence, we ask that you would move among us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We magnify and exalt your holy name, the name of Jesus Christ, and it is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Please join me in a responsive reading from Psalm chapter 31, verses 1 through 5. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth.
Our opening hymn will be number 311. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Let's stand together, please. Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior, bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place held and he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior, guilty by These next three young ladies are going to have some readings from the Catechism that have to deal with our redemption and the cross. So they'll be reading the questions and wanting you to join them in the answer. So Kaylee, if you'll come first.
Of our catechism. Question number 38. Why did Jesus suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? So that he, though innocent, might be condemned by a civil judge and so free us from the severe punishment that was to fall on us. Question number 39. Is it significant that he was crucified instead of dying some other way?
Yes, his death convinces me that he shouldered the curse which lay on me, since death by crucifixion was accursed by God.
Please join me in saying the answers to questions 40 through 42 of our catechism. Why did Christ have to go all the way to death? Because God's justice and truth demand it. Only the death of God's Son could pay for our sin. Why was he buried? His burial testifies that he really died. Since Christ has died for us, why do we still have to die? Our death does not pay the debt of our sins. Rather, it puts an end to our sin and it is our entrance into eternal life.
Please join me in saying the answers to questions 43 and 44 of our catechism. Question number 43, what further advantage do we receive from Christ's sacrifice and death on the cross?
Through Christ's death, our old selves are crucified, put to death, and buried with him, so that the evil desires of flesh may no longer rule us, but that we may dedicate ourselves as an offering of gratitude to you.
Question number 44. Why does the Creed add, he descended into hell?
To assure me in times of personal crisis and temptation that Christ my Lord, by suffering unspeakable anguish, pain, and terror in soul, especially on the cross, but also earlier, has delivered me from anguish and torment.
Children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time, and Austin and AJ are going to talk to you this evening.
Hello. This evening, I have a package of baseball cards. I wonder how much these cards are worth. I didn't pay very much for them, only about 15 cents each. Did you know that some baseball cards can be worth hundreds or even thousands of dollars? How can that be? They are just a picture on a piece of cardboard. Well, some people collect baseball cards, and if they want a particular card, and there aren't many of them, they may have to pay hundreds or thousands of dollars to get one. You see, these cards are worth whatever someone is willing to pay for them. If I am only willing to pay 15 cents, then that is what they are worth. If I am willing to pay thousands of dollars, then that is what they are worth.
How much are you guys worth? What do you think? How much money? How much, Trent? $50,100, huh? Well, if you take the skin and bones of our bodies, we are not worth very much. But like these baseball cards, we are worth whatever someone is willing to pay for us. Jesus must have thought we were worth a lot because he was willing to pay a great price for us. The Bible tells us that he died on the cross for us so that we could go to heaven to be with him. He paid for us with his whole life. That is a tremendous price, isn't it? Jesus must have thought we were worth a lot.
1 Corinthians 7:23 says, "You were bought at a price." Galatians 2:20 says, "I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me."
All right, let's pray, guys. Lord, sometimes there are times when we don't feel like we are worth much. In those times, help us to remember that Jesus thought we were worth dying for. Amen.
AJ, thank you. And the high schoolers are going to sing for us here in just a moment. Okay, yeah, you can come up. Thank you to the high school kids for singing. Thanks to Mick Huber for directing and Jennifer Herbolt for playing. It's fun to have them do that, isn't it? Very much. Andrea is going to read the scripture for us.
1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Thank you, Andrea. Let's bow our heads, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. You are our Redeemer, our Lord, our God. You've blessed us in such incredible ways. Our chains are gone. We've been set free, as the song said. Lord, from your word, you speak much to us about your redemption. As we look into it tonight, we thank you for speaking to our hearts and lives and minds. Lord, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, to all of us gathered here. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. The verse 17 here, it starts out as she read, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially. New Living says for that word impartially, he has no favorites. Aren't you glad about that? God has no favorites. Sometimes we can tend to think that way as we observe each other's lives and we see the things that we're going through, and sometimes comments can be made of, boy, I sure don't see so-and-so ever going through any struggles or trials. And most of the time in those situations, we probably don't know the struggles and trials, because we all have them, don't we? He has no favorites. He says, so since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. During our time on this earth, in other words, whatever amount of time God gives us, whether it's days, as it is in some cases, whether it's months, years, whether it's 100 years, that's still so short compared to eternity. Live your lives as strangers here. We just, less than a month ago, had Eugene Weidenbach's funeral service celebrating his life. The kids, I don't know if you'd know him by name, but you'd certainly know him by face. He was 100 years, 2 months, 10 days old, a World War II veteran. I'm going to share a little more about that in a minute here. So I haven't known a lot of 100-year-old people, but in our years here, we had Norma Kirschman, who lived just over 100 years. Eugene, as I mentioned, Stella Nuss, who this coming Tuesday, I'm looking, Monday, this coming Monday, God willing, will be 100 years old. This would be Kiara's great-grandmother. There's some others. But that seems, wow, that's incredible. And in many ways, it is. But yet, compared to eternity, it's just a flash of time. So he says, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear of God, our maker and our creator, because we don't, not one of us knows what tomorrow holds. But as he goes on, for you know that it was not with perishable things, and he lists, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers. So in that day, in this day, 2,000 years ago, gold and silver were two of the most valuable things that they had. Gold still is. Silver, I just looked yesterday on the computer how much these things are per ounce. Gold, as of yesterday anyway, $1,738 an ounce. Now, an ounce is not much at all. A very little amount. Silver, $26 an ounce. So quite a difference, right? But in our day, so platinum, $1,200 an ounce. So I was thinking, I'm not just talking to the kids here, but since they are right up front here, any of you in chemistry right now by chance? Okay, one. That means the quiz, two, that's good. I hate to have the quiz on just one person. You learn about the elements in chemistry, right? Yeah, so do you know what the letters are for gold? What? AU. I had to look that one up again. I had all those memorized in my years in pharmacy college. You had to, but I couldn't remember. AU. How about silver? AG. Right. How about platinum? PT. They're pretty good. Those are the letters for those elements, and they each have a number. If you never had chemistry, they each have a number. There's how many elements? 100 and something. 118. There's 118, so you were good, close there. So those were very valuable things, the most valuable things at that time when they lived. But he says you were not redeemed by gold or silver or anything that is perishable. My favorite definition of to be redeemed is this: to be rescued and delivered from the bondage of sin and the penalty of God's violated law. That's what redeemed means. To be rescued first, rescued and delivered from the bondage of sin. Sin brings bondage. Boy, the devil is a cruel taskmaster, and his goal is always to try and get people into bondage. Push them down, down, down. But Jesus came to rescue us from that. From the bondage of sin and the penalty of God's violated law. Well, without Jesus, the penalty of God's violated law when we leave this earth is hell. It is hell. And he came to deliver us from that. He says, for you know, he wants us to know the price that was paid. Sometimes, like, you know, we're 2,000 years removed from when Jesus hung on the cross. And we can get sort of insensitive to it. And unless God really works and moves in our heart by his Spirit, it's hard for us to comprehend that price that was paid for our salvation. It's almost like in the world we live, where around the globe we can know everything in a moment's time, instantly. If there's a hurricane in wherever, Indonesia, or a tsunami, we know it. There's an earthquake in China. We know it. And on, all these natural disasters or government problems or whatever, we know it all instantly. And you know what that's setting up for? The return of Christ. The return of Christ. Because the world will know it instantly when it happens. But my point is, on these things, we see these disasters around the world all the time, every day. If you watch the news, we see it. And what does it do then to us? Sort of makes us insensitive, doesn't it? Unless it hits right here in our community or to someone that we know as a loved one. Then it touches home. But when it's across the ocean and around the world, it can be like, oh man, yeah, that's too bad. And hopefully we do pray for them. But beyond that, you know, we go on our business. So we don't want to do that with Christ and the cross and the price he paid for our salvation. He says, you know, I want you to know this. As the chorus of that song says, my chains are gone I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. I think most of you were probably not at Eugene's funeral a couple weeks ago, which is okay. We had two of them going on that same morning, the very same time. So part of what I'm going to share is going back to that. Eugene, when he would come out of church many times on Sundays, as he would greet me at those double doors right there, his statement would be, "Thank God we have been redeemed." That was his statement. "Thank God we've been redeemed." And I would always say, "Amen. Amen, Eugene. That's right." So you better be careful what you say to me on the way out the door there. No, just kidding. Certain things just stick in my mind. Well, he said it to me enough that has never left me. And this is the text I used at his funeral. This very text. And I've thought about that since he went home to heaven. For you kids there, I think probably the adults all know him, but you kids that maybe didn't know, he was the last living World War II veteran in the town of Scotland. Last one. It's pretty amazing. 100 years old. When he was 21, he got drafted into the army. And we think about being redeemed or our freedom in a natural sense. And why are there wars? Many times it's either to rescue ourselves or other nations from dictators and tyrants, right? Oppressive rulers, terrorist regimes, and all of that thing. So Eugene's story, when I think, I never straight asked him this, but I thought, you know, why did he always say that? It meant so much to him because he lived through World War II. He was over there in Europe seeing the oppression, seeing what Nazi Germany was doing to all of Europe and beyond. Incredible horrors, what they did. So it was in 1944, he had gone through basic training, and that seems like a while ago, doesn't it? 77 years ago. It really wasn't that long ago. Basic training and then more training to be a mechanical engineer in the army. He worked on tanks. That's what he did once he got over there. So it was in 1944 in February that he was sent over to England. Now, think about this. It took him by boat, ship, 10 days from when they left the East Coast to get over to England, to cross the Atlantic Ocean. 10 days. There was a convoy, or maybe we would call it an armada, of 600 ships. Can you imagine that? These were not small ships. 600 of them leaving together in procession, going over. If you were somewhere in the middle of that, that just, to me, would have been an incredible sight. That you had 300 battleships and cargo ships and whatever ahead of you, as far as you could see. 300 behind you, as far as you could see. I mean, if you were in that army, what would your thoughts have been? We are invincible. I think that's what I would have been thinking. This is incredible. And so they went 10 days and they stayed together. They could only go as fast as the slowest ship on there. So they get there. This is from some of his statements here. It's all about being redeemed. That's what I'm getting at. I'm talking on a natural side here first. He said one of his most difficult experiences when he was over there came. Remember, it was February 1944 when he went. Christmas Eve, 1944, there was this troop ship. In other words, it was a Belgian ship. It was called the SS Leopoldville, and it had on it 2,235 American troops on this ship. They were trying to cross the English Channel to get over there to France to help liberate Europe from the Nazis. And in that channel was a German U-boat, which means it was a submarine. And you know, they had some radar then, but it wasn't anything like what we have today. That ship had been across that hundreds of times transporting troops. But this time there was a German U-boat under the water, fired a torpedo at this ship, hit it. It sunk. 783 of those 2,200 plus soldiers drowned in that. Think about that. A lot of those had life jackets on. And what took them down was when that ship sank, the suction of that water going down sucked those guys down with their life jackets on long enough to hold them underwater that they drowned. And guess what happened to all those with the life jackets on that drowned? They all come popping up eventually, right? And floating ashore. This was on Christmas Eve of that year. He said his battalion was responsible for burying all of those dead soldiers. He said it was the most horrendous sight that anyone could ever imagine. There were so many, they got a bulldozer, plowed a trench on the beach, laid them in there one by one, and buried them. And his statement was, the scene was so horrendous that many men skipped the Christmas Eve festivities. I think I would have too. To see something like that and have to bury all of your comrades. So why do I bring that out again, Eugene, as he would say, thank God I've been redeemed. He helped with the liberation of Europe on the natural side. As important as that is, let's go to the spiritual side though. As I've said before, there is a battle raging in the realm of the spirit for the souls of mankind. And there is a tyrant who is called the devil, whose goal, according to John 10:10, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That is his goal, to take as many souls to hell as he can. But thank God, Jesus came. Silver and gold cannot buy our salvation. Military might. It's a verse in the Old Testament. Some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Right? Thank God for military might, but it can't save our souls. Only Jesus can, the Lamb of God. So he says, we were not redeemed with those perishable things, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. In other words, as we know, without sin, Jesus is that Lamb of God. Verse 20, it says, he was chosen before the creation of the world. I brought that out Sunday morning. Before the creation of the world, God had the plan already laid out. He wasn't surprised by Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. He knew it was going to happen. Already in chapter 3 of Genesis, he speaks of the Savior coming right there and all the way through the Old Testament. Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed, born in Bethlehem, right? In these last times, for your sake, for our sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God. So Jesus is our Redeemer. He paid an incredible price that is hard for us to comprehend. 2 weeks ago here, Carl shared about Barabbas. It was very good. At the end of that, there was a little clip on Barabbas. We are Barabbas, or I think it was called. And so I know I talked to some of the parents for some of the younger kids. It was, they were hiding their head in their mom's tummy. And that wasn't even the graphic version of it. If you've seen The Passion of Christ, that movie is the most graphic version that has been made as far as in a movie. And that doesn't even show the horror of it. But the passion of Christ, we saw that first when we lived in Timber Lake. I remember we had Nathan's roommate was Hindu from India, but he was in school in Augustana, and he came home for break with Nathan. We went down to pier and saw that, and I tell you, I don't know how anybody could eat popcorn through that one, if you've seen it. Oh, man, when I was watching it and the whipping and the beating, I was just about all I could take, and I wasn't even going through it. I was sitting there praying, Lord, please, that's enough. It is enough, enough in my mind. And to actually endure it physically. He's our Redeemer. So we have to guard ourselves. As we know Christ, yeah, we've been redeemed. We've been set free. My chains are gone. I've been set free. Now, for your high schoolers, you know, I tell you this more than once. I'll tell you, hear it again, though. In your choices, in your decisions, guard your hearts. Guard your hearts. You don't have to get in to a bunch of bondage. Because once a person is in that, well, that the devil just cranks those chains tighter, tighter, tighter. He tries to. Yes, there is deliverance. There is always deliverance in Christ. But why do we have to even go there? We don't. There's victory and freedom without it. So Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And then he goes on and speaks in regard to that. But I want us to look at just the first catechism question. I want us to say the answer. I know these all know it. Some of you older ones learned it in a different version. But it talks about being redeemed in here, in this question. So you join me in the answer, okay? Those that know it, say it loud, okay? What is your only comfort in life and in death? Oh, you have it. Oh, thank you. All right, here we go. That I am not my own, but belong body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. Stop for a second. The tyranny. He's the tyrant, right? He's the oppressive ruler in the realm of the spirit. We've been redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. Okay, let's go on. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Amen. Amen. And so just the last verses here of the text back to 1 Peter. He says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed. The perishable seed is when your mom and dad came together and you were conceived. To put it simple, that's the first birth. You have not been born again. You have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. That's the new birth. Through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field, even at 100 years old, right? The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Thank God we are redeemed. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Men and women have paid incredible prices for our natural freedoms. They have and they are. Many, even in our own congregation, giving their lives for our freedom and others. And we're thankful for that, Lord God, for every one of them. Father, we are most thankful for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as you came, Jesus, to give your very own life that we could be redeemed, that we could be set free from all the power of the enemy, as you have declared it in your word. Lord, give us strength. Help us to guard our hearts that we don't fall into that bondage that Satan would try to bring. You are merciful, you are gracious and full of compassion and always forgiving. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, if Chris and Caden and Adrian, you guys want to come up here, please. Chris, you can, I have it over here. Yeah, it's okay. This will be the invitation to give here that Chris is going to read.
I will read from Psalm 107, verses 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithfulness, love endures forever. Has the Lord redeemed you? Then speak out. Tell others he has saved you from your enemies.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
You'd stand, please. Thank you, Caden. Oh, come over here. Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we are standing here in your presence, we bring these offerings before your throne as our act of worship. You have given us your very best gift, your begotten Son. It is our joy to bring our best gifts unto you. Please bless and multiply these gifts for the work of your kingdom, in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we confess our faith together before you through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He
You can stay standing, please. We'll go to our closing hymn. Thank you, Caden. That was so moving, I left us speechless. How deep the Father's love for us. This is not in the hymnal. It is in the praise book, though. Let's sing this together. How deep the Father's love for us. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss the Father turns his face away as wounds which mark a chosen one bring many sons to
Now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for coming out this evening. Wonderful always to have our high schoolers helping, and praise the Lord for each of their lives.